Well, the last several weeks, we couldn't go anywhere without seeing Halloween costumes or Halloween candy being advertised at Walmart or down at Dumoulin's. It's just, it's something that the world has put such a huge, huge emphasis on. I thought about today. It's not often that Halloween, I guess, it would, every few years it would fall, every 7 or 8 years it falls on a Sunday. And I thought, what would I do this morning that might be just a little bit special? This is also known as Reformation Sunday. It goes back to the days of the early Reformation period with Martin Luther. And I prayed as I was looking at our text in the book of Mark about what to share with you this morning. And let me say, on Friend Day, we skipped ahead. We were in Mark chapter 4. And we went to the end of chapter 4 on Friend Day and dealt with a passage of Scripture that emphasized the person of Christ and the power of Christ and encouraged people to put their faith in Christ. That story took place on the Sea of Galilee. And if we could have this map, just to be reminded of where we are, Jerusalem is down in the south, and you come up the Jordan River, and the ministry of the Lord Jesus at this time is in this area. It's called the province of Galilee, a Roman province. We might call it a county. It's quite a large area. The Lord Jesus made his headquarters here in the area of Capernaum. And this is where the Lord Jesus met with Peter's family and made kind of his headquarters for his Galilean ministry. The Sea of Galilee is about 13 miles from north to south. It is at the very, very widest point, which would be about right there, over to this area, Gergesus, 7.5 miles, almost 8 miles wide. And the Lord Jesus is in the left side there, on this side, and he's teaching the last of chapter 4. And the crowd gathers around, and they bring a boat, and so he's right in this widest spot, right there teaching. There is this big valley in the back of it where people gathered in a natural amphitheater. And the Lord Jesus steps in the boat and he teaches. It's been a long day. He's cast out demons. He's healed. He's preached. He's taught. And so as the day wore on, as night began to fall, he decided it's time to get away and take some R&R. So what does he do? He gets the guys, his disciples, and in their fishing boats, and they go across. And on Friend Day, we read the story of the great storm and how the Lord Jesus was sleeping in the boat, and they woke him up, and he spoke and simply said, "Peace be still," and the waves obeyed him, and they were able to go on across. I'd like to, this morning, rather than going back and catching the rest of chapter 4, which we will do after our missions conference, I'd like to move forward into chapter 5 for a very obvious reason. The story in chapter 5 takes place, one, late evening or early night, so it's dark. Number two, it takes place in a graveyard. Number three, there's screeching and screaming. Number four, there's demonic activity going on, and it just seems to fit this special day to study that text together. The companion story is found in Matthew chapter 8 and in Luke chapter 8. Now, if the Lord Jesus was going across the Sea of Galilee and this terrible storm took place at the end of chapter 4, If the story in chapter 5, which follows, with the casting out of the demonic man right here in this spot, it may be that that storm that took place at the last of chapter 4 had some demonic or the devil's power behind it, because he certainly would like to have seen Jesus destroyed or drowned there in chapter 4 before we get to chapter 5. Well, let's get to the story. So we are in Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 is the discovery. And they, the disciples and the Lord Jesus, they're in their little fishing boat. They crossed over to the other side. Can I go back to the map just a moment? So as you look on this map, this, of course, is the east side. And this area is known as Decapolis. It's named for the 10 cities established really pre-Greek time, but really strengthened during the Greek time period. And these 10 cities that are either still there today, by the way, Syria, Damascus is one of those. These 10 cities made up an area called Decapolis during the time of Christ. So he's going over to an area known as Decapolis, the area of 10 towns, 10 free Greek cities. And he's going to go, if you'll notice in your text, if we can go back to verse 1, you notice the area is called by the name of the people who live there, Gadarenes. Go back, please, to our map. And if you'll notice in your map, there is one place, this area right here, Gadara. This is 30 miles south and east of the Sea of Galilee. That was one of the largest cities, so the people were called that because of that large city. I've been there to the ruins and walked around. It's about 2.5 miles in length and 2 miles in width. And it was a large, it was kind of the capital area, even larger than Damascus, Syria. And those 10 cities, they had their own coinage. In fact, you can buy a coin, silver coin that was coined in Decapolis with one of the 10 cities' names on it. So the people were named after this large city, Gadara. Just for your information, those of you who may look in Matthew or Luke's account, it was Matthew's account that uses this name, and it is this name 30 miles south, Gadara. This is halfway between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea Scrolls, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found. So that area was called either of those two names. That's why you find two different names where the event took place. Let's go back to our verse of Scripture. So, verse 1, Jesus and the disciples crossed over to the east side, it's the country of the Gadarenes. Verse 2, when they got out of their little boat, I want to remind you that the ships were really like fishing boats. They were not large. They did not have a sail. I don't know how long it would take to row across the Sea of Galilee at that night, but it would have taken some time. But they landed there on the shore, and where they landed, there was a cliff. Today, when you take the road around the east side of the Sea of Galilee, you go by that spot. And there, right alongside the road, there are some tombs. They're ancient tombs. These tombs were carved out of limestone. Sometimes they just took limestone caves and made them to be the tombs. And there, that evening, remember dusk? Remember darkness? Out of the shadows stepped a man who was homeless or living there in those tombs, and he had an unclean spirit. When we read those words, unclean spirit, wonderful description how unclean demonic power is. Demons are simply angels that God created, and at the rebellion of Satan, they followed Satan, and they were cast out of heaven. and today are doing things that Satan wants them to do. So our English text, unclean spirits, demons. Verse 3, this man had a demon, and he was dwelling. The Greek word there, he had made his home there in one of those caves or one of those tombs. Please don't think about it as a grave as we know about here in our area. The tombs would be family tombs and really large. First of all, there would be an open chamber when you went into the limestone cave or the grave. On the right side and on the left side would be an open area where the body, when a person died, was laid out, and then it would be left to deteriorate, and 1 year later, the family would come and even have another funeral. They would take the bones and they would place it in a box carved out of limestone. They're called bone boxes or ossuaries. When you go with us to Israel next November, you'll see a lot of those tombs. You'll see a lot of those bone boxes. They're made out of limestone carved with the person's name on them. And usually they're made just about the size of the longest bone of the person's body. And then those bones are placed in there 1 year after their death. And then they're taken and they're placed farther back into the cave or the grave. And they're stacked up with all the rest of the family's remains. And so the opening out there, that first, you might call it a chamber, was a good place to get out of the storm or get out of the weather, a place to get have a little bit of safety or security for someone who is homeless. And so he was there in those tombs, and he was so strong. Notice the next verse, verse 4, that many, many, many times, continuous action in the original language, often, he was bound with fetters, whether it was around his feet or around his wrists, and he would break them. He would just pluck them off because of his strength. And there was just no way that anyone could tame him, could hold him back. And verse 5, notice it says, night and day, he ran around like a ferocious, vicious animal. There in the mountains, in those tombs. The word crying here is the Greek word shriek. So remember, nighttime, graveyard, a fellow that was wild, people passing by. Luke says they stopped going down that road. And he was shrieking, screaming there in that graveyard. And then cutting himself with stones. Self-destruction, injuring himself. I think that there are several things that are very important when we think about demonic. And the Bible does not differentiate between oppression and obsession or maybe even possession. But the Greek word that's used for this man is he was demonized or demon-dominated. There are several things I think that stands out. Number one is the extraordinary strength. Number two would be the shrieking. Number three, later on you're going to read how he speaks, the demon does, and uses the vocal box of this man. Number four, the association with death in the tombs. Number five, the social isolation. Number six, you'll note some public nakedness. Number seven, the cutting of himself, the self-destruction. Number eight, the violence as people were not even able to go by that area. Number two, I want you to notice his deliverance. I'm glad it doesn't stop with verse 5. I'm glad the Lord Jesus stepped on shore and he made a huge difference. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him, and he saw Jesus. I'm going to say their eyes met. And he certainly had still good eyesight, even though it was dark, it was dim, it was the evening hour. Because he saw the Lord Jesus when he was far away, maybe just as he stepped off the shore, doesn't say. But he ran and he worshiped him. The word worship there is literally bowed the knee. It does not necessarily talk about reverence, but it means to show respect. And so there was this this moment of recognition of who Jesus is and the respect that this man gave him. Verse 7. And then he cried. Same word as used before. Loud. He screamed at the top of his lungs. And he said these words. Now it's the demon that's speaking and says, using the vocal box, the voice box, using the voice of the man that is possessed and says, what do I have to do with you? He says, we're so different. Leave me alone. There couldn't be a greater contrast between sin and the Savior, between God and this evil. He screamed, he shrieked. I don't want to have anything to do with you. The demon is speaking. But he recognizes who Jesus is. And he calls him Jesus, Yeshua, Savior. You are the Son of the Most High God. We read those words, Son of the Most High God, and think of a child being born. But beloved, the Hebrew immediately, the Jewish people immediately, when you read those words, oh, you are God. You are God the Son of God. You're God in the flesh. You say, how would this demon understand that Jesus was God? You look up every time Jesus meets a demon, and in every time, every demon recognizes Jesus as God. Everyone. And so, how were they able to do that? Because demons are spirit beings that in eternity past knew God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so, immediately he recognized him as God. The word here, adjure, is an interesting word. It is the word that we get. What is the English word that people use today, quote, for casting out demons? They've even used it, the what? Everyone together. That's correct. That is exactly the Greek word, Frank, for that used here. The demon used that word even before the Lord Jesus cast him out. He says, I adjure you. And then he says these words. He says, don't torment me. And Luke, in his account, adds, don't torment me yet. Or don't torment me now. Not only did this demon understand Christology, who Christ was, but he understood eschatology, and that was his eventual end, his doom. The Bible tells us very clearly that God made hell for Satan and his what? Angels, his demons. And this demon knew that eventually he was going to end up there. He just didn't want to go there yet. And so he says, don't torment me. Luke again says, don't start that torment now. By the way, the word that is used here and one other place, you're going to read it in just a moment when he says, I don't want to leave the country, is the word abyss. He says, boy, I don't want to go to the abyss. That is, if a person today commits a crime and they're caught, where do they go? They go to jail. Then they go before the judge. And then if it's serious, they go to prison. Jail is the word there for abyss. Then they are judged and they're sent to the eternal separation forever and ever. Verse 8. In verse 8 we read, Jesus speaks with a word and does what the chains could not do. simply says, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. Now, verse 9 explains, when he says those words, what is your name? Why would Jesus stop and ask for this man's this demon's name? Some people get the idea that there was special power in his name. I don't believe that is true. And when he asked for his name, the Lord Jesus was using this opportunity to clearly show this tremendous need that this man had, because Jesus, knowing the name, had him say that his name was Legion. Now, the word Legion is the division name for a group of 6,000 Roman soldiers that made up an army division. That area was all controlled by Rome. They had taken, that area was taken in 63 BC by General Pompey. And when he took it, they had made huge area for the control of the traffic north and south, and the Jewish people across the Jordan River. And so there were these huge garrisons of soldiers. And so immediately, when he said Legion, 6,000 demons living within this man, the destructive force of 6,000 Roman soldiers, a battalion, a division, marching through the land, so exemplified this demon possession. Verse 10, he begged him that he would not send him out. Here's that word abyss, out of this present country and into this jail waiting for God's judgment, where they will be eternally damned in hell. And so he begged not to be sent there. Verse 11. Right near there, on the hills behind Sea of Galilee, cliff, the road that goes along it today, and the road that was there between two major Decapolis cities, the graveyards, and in that whole area, there along that mountainside going up the Golan Heights, there was a great herd of swine, a great herd of pigs, of hogs, were being raised there. You say, Pastor Larry, Jewish people don't eat pigs. No, but Roman soldiers do. They like bacon, and they like ham. And so these are Jewish people who were raising them for money to be able to sell to the Roman legions that were there, or they were Gentiles that were living there, and they were raising these pigs. A great herd. In fact, there's 2,000 of them. And they were eating the little bits of grass that was there, and the nuts, and the food that would be natural on that hillside. Verse 12. And the demons begged. I mean, they begged the Lord Jesus. They besought him, said, please send us into the pigs, into the hogs, so that we can, we want to enter into there. Now, I want to remind you that they're not constrained by time or space or form. So why would they want to go in there? They were not able to destroy the man, but they could still be destructive by destroying these 2,000 pigs. And I'll say also, if these are owned by Jewish people and the 2,000 pigs are killed, these Jewish people are going to be very, very upset for Jesus, for taking away so much money, thousands of dollars. And so the demons asked to go into the pig. And then verse 13 says, immediately Jesus said, okay. Now, I want to remind you that the demons have to ask permission to go into the pigs. Just as a very simple thing for those who have read about demonology, you know, a person does not just overcome with a demon. A person has to, who asked the demon to come and to come into, quote, his life, or to take possession of him, or to oppress him. Demons don't have that authority to do so without someone asking. So Jesus, they asked to go into the pig, and Jesus allowed them to do so. They went into the pigs, and immediately, now remember, there's 2,000 of them, they ran off. I would say that's 30 yards, maybe it's 100 feet from right where those graves are today to where it drops off, maybe 40 to 50 feet straight down to the Sea of Galilee. And then if you go with us to Israel next November, we'll stop there and read this story. And they just ran off into the sea, and they were immediately drowned. I mean, they drowned. Pigs don't swim very long and very far. I think it's very interesting that they're not compatible. Even demonism is not compatible, not only with humanism, but even with the animals. So verse 14. The pig farmers, they that fed the pig, these guys took off. And they went into the nearest city of those big ten. And they also the other pig farmers out in the country. And they went and they told everybody about what happened. And people came to see what took place. Curiosity seekers came. They could hardly believe their eyes. What did they see? Please note verse 15. When they came to Jesus and they saw this man who was demon possessed, who had 6,000, and he was just sitting there, cool, calm, and collected, completely clothed. He was thinking straight and in his right mind. And so how did they respond to this? I mean, it scared the daylights out of them. I mean, they couldn't understand this power. It was something that they couldn't control. I keep wondering if in that day to lose 2,000 pigs was a lot of money. And if these were folks who ran out and said, "Where are my pigs?" and found out that Jesus was the one who was responsible for the death of their pigs. Notice the next verse. And he told them exactly what took place. Went through the whole story. Verse 17. And they said, "Get out of here." Can you imagine turning to the Lord Jesus and saying, "Get out of here. I don't want you anywhere near our border, our coast." The Greek word there, coast, border. Anywhere along that area. He says, "Get out of here." Verse 18. So when the Lord Jesus walked down the cliff and got on that little fishing boat, the guy who previously had a demon prayed. That English word, that old English word there, prayed, begged, pleaded with the Lord Jesus that he might be with him. "I want to go with you." I understand that, don't you? His life has been changed completely. He's able to think right and be able to deal socially with people and spiritually now. He's been relieved, and the one who did it was the Lord Jesus. And he said, "I just want to walk with you. I want to be with you. I want to be one of your followers. I want to be close to you." Verse 19. But Jesus said, "No, I don't want you coming with me. What I want you to do is I want you to go home, and I want you to talk to those nearest to you. I want you to talk to your family, and I want you to talk to your friends. And I want you to tell them what great things God has done for you. Don't keep quiet about this. I mean, shout it from the housetop. Tell everybody." So how did this guy deal with this? Verse 20. And so he went and did exactly what Jesus asked him to do. In all of Decapolis, that whole area of 10 cities, he began to tell people, notice the words, how great things Jesus has done for him. I guess the one good point is the people finally began to realize when they saw the changed life of this man, they began to marvel at what great things God hath done. That is a real, don't misunderstand me, Halloween story. I mean a real, amazing story. Now, as we close this morning, let me just draw a couple of principles to your mind. Number one, there's a place for you to write there in your bulletin to write notes. Number one, we are still in a battle between good and bad, between God and evil. And I think sometimes as believers, we absolutely forget that we are Christian soldiers and we are in a battle. And so we must put on the whole armor of God. Remember who our CEO is, our commander-in-chief. And beloved, we are in a battle between right and wrong, between good and bad, between God and evil. I guess I would say between right and wrong and righteousness and unrighteousness. We are in a battle. Don't forget that. Number two. Number two, the demons knew who Jesus is. Do you? Do you realize that Jesus was God in the flesh? That's why he could still, how he could still the storm. That's why he could speak and that demon leave like that and become cool, calm, and collected and just immediately with a word, because he was God in the flesh. This morning, the one that is revealed in God's word that we've studied together, this account according to Mark, is Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. That's why we put our faith and our trust in him. These demons had their Christology correct. They knew that Jesus was God. And because of that, we put our faith and our trust in him. Do you understand? Do you believe that Jesus is who he said he is? Number three, with God, all things are possible. Please remember that. You know, I'm amazed at the odds here. 1 to 6,000. And the 6,000 had to ask permission from the one. But with God, all things are possible. Because he's omnipotent, he's strong. And beloved, when it comes to, if you're struggling with drink, if you're struggling with drugs, if you're struggling with getting your finances in order, if you're struggling with whatever aspect of life, the pressures, the problems, the discouragement, the distress in your life, I want to remind you, with God, all things are possible. 1 to 6,000. But 6,000 side loss. Number four. Come to Jesus. He'll change your life. Carlos, that's why you do what you do. Well, you cannot take the man out of the slum without first of all taking the slum out of the man. Come to Jesus. He'll change your life. Mentally, he began to think. He was in his right mind. Spiritually, he wanted to be with Jesus. Physically, he was changed immediately. Doesn't say, but certainly he would have quit cutting himself. But he did clothe himself. There was a sense of moral decency. God will change your life. Come to Jesus. Number five. Fifth principle from our text is to go and tell others what God has done for you. What great things he has done. Go and tell. This is simply tell what you know. You say, Pastor Larry, I don't know how to go out and lead someone to Christ. Just be a witness. Acts chapter 1. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost had come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem. Simply tell what you know. When you're asked to go to court and to be a witness, you don't have to go through a large outline of everything that you've been taught or whatever. You just simply tell what you've seen and you know. Go today and tell someone what great things God has done for you. Be a witness. Number six. Desire and delight to be with Jesus. When this guy got saved, the first thing he wanted to do was just go home with Jesus. Wanted to be with Jesus. Read his love letter to you, the Bible. Delight, and may it continue, the desire continue to grow, just to walk with Jesus, be with Jesus. Empty the seat beside you and say, Jesus, I just want to fellowship with you as we go down the road. When you walk this afternoon, reach out and take his hand. Experience the presence of Christ in your life. He just wanted to be with Jesus. Point number seven, and the last thought is this. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Don't turn him away. These people came out of the cities to see what was happening. And what did they do? They pushed him away. They rejected him rather than receiving him. And this morning, as we've looked at this amazing story, we close with that thought, that theme. Come to Jesus. Receive him. Do not reject him. Let me share with you those three ABCs that we've used before. A, admit, acknowledge your sin. The Bible makes it very clear, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the wages of that sin separates us from God forever. Admit, acknowledge, you are a sinner. B, the ABCs, acknowledge your sin. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. James says that even the devils believe and tremble. They know who God is. This morning, believe that Jesus is who he said that he is, God in the flesh. And that's how he was able to go to the cross and to die and to pay for your sins and mine. C, confess him as Lord and Savior. Romans says that if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess him with thy mouth, thou shalt be saved. This morning, put your faith and your trust. Transfer your life to him and his life to yourself. Make a transaction in your heart. Let's bow together for a word of prayer. And this morning I would ask, if you're here today, God is who he said that he is. Jesus was God in the flesh. And he lived a spotless, sinless life, did these miracles and this tremendous teaching, went to the cross and he died to pay for your sins. And if you're not sure of your eternal destiny, may this be the moment that you come to Jesus and put your faith and your trust in Christ. Come to Jesus. With your head bowed and your heart broken open before him. A, admit your sin and ask forgiveness. Lord Jesus, I do miss your mark of perfection. I ask you to forgive me. B, I believe, Jesus, that you died on the cross for my sin. C, confess him right now as your Lord and Savior. Lord Jesus, I agree and I accept you as Lord of my life and my Savior. right now with your heads bowed and your hearts broken open before the Lord Jesus, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, ask Christ to come into your life right now. Heavenly Father, I pray that not one person would leave the multi-purpose room this morning without a personal relationship with You through Your Son, Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed, ask right now for forgiveness and ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. I accept You today as Savior and Lord. Come to Jesus.